QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, W1AW, the National Association for Amateur Radio in Newington, Connecticut. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for August 19th, 2015. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE in Daytona Beach, Florida. The ARRL Aries e-letter is available online at arrl.org/ares-el, or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. You may also listen to the audio version of the ARRL Aries e-letter as a podcast by using the iTunes app. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you: Aries supports 60,000 runners in Atlanta for the Peachtree Road Race; helicopter landing zone drill in Washington State; joint emergency exercises work on a small scale; anatomy of a cert from East Lake in West Central Florida; letters, and we have three, an emergency paging method; Georgia County interfaces with emergency management via planning committee; and San Diego WinLink Net marks 5 years. ARRL staff developing patch display at headquarters. Send in your group's patch. Connecticut Aries region conducts simplex test. Georgia group to conduct 911 memorial special event. And remembering Hurricane Katrina 10 years ago this month. Those are the headlines. But first, we have Aries briefs and links. September is National Preparedness Month. This year, FEMA is asking you to take action now. Make a plan with your community, your family, and your pets. Plan how to stay safe and communicate during the disasters that can affect your community. FEMA is asking everyone to participate in America's Preparathon and the National Day of Action, which culminates National Preparedness Month on September 30th. To learn more, click on community.fema.gov on the Internet. That URL again is community.fema.gov on the World Wide Web. Now, here's the news. Aries supports 60,000 runners in Atlanta for the Peachtree Road Race. For the last 45 years, Atlantans have celebrated Independence Day in a unique fashion. The city of Atlanta closes one of the city's busiest thoroughfares and allows 60,000 runners, supported by 5,000 volunteers, including over 50 amateur radio volunteers, and nearly 200,000 spectators for the Peachtree Road Race. The amateur radio response is coordinated by race committee members David Siskind, KE4QLH, and Chris Balch, KS4MM. Mr. Balch is an ARRL volunteer counsel and assistant emergency coordinator. The amateur radio contingent provides crucial on-course intelligence and safety reports for injured runners, race conditions, and even the occasional suspicious package. They work closely with the Atlanta Fulton County Emergency Management Agency, or AFCEMA, the Atlanta Police and Fire Departments, as well as numerous federal and state law enforcement and public safety agencies. After learning from the experience of their colleagues in Boston, amateur radio net control operations for the race were located at AFCEMA's Underground Emergency Operations Center, EOC. AFCEMA Director Matthew Kallmeyer has worked closely with Atlanta Aries Emergency Coordinator Ken Reed, KG4USN, to stock the underground EOC with 3 dual-band radios. They were able to run and respond to their different nets, as well as a D-Star link to the Atlanta Police Headquarters. This allowed the amateur radio operators to help provide coordination among public safety officials, Atlanta Track Club organizers, and media outlets. Race Communications benefited from the loaned repeaters of the Atlanta Radio Club, the Metropolitan Atlanta Telephone Pioneers Amateur Radio Club, and the Georgia Tech Amateur Radio Club. This year, 2015, provided a particularly challenging environment as the city of Atlanta was hit by a long line of severe and dangerous thunderstorms just as the race got underway on July 4th. After half the field was already on the course, the storms intensified. Track club officials made the decision to hold the last half of the runners indoors for safety. After a 30-minute delay, 25,000 race participants emerged and completed their annual jog down Peachtree Street. We thank Chris Balch, KS4MM, the Assistant Emergency Coordinator for Atlanta Aries, for this report. And we'll pause now for a few seconds to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for August 19, 2015. Don't go away, we'll be right back. Helicopter landing zone drill in Washington State. Joint emergency exercises work on a small scale. Bob Wiley, KD7OWN, reported, 1 hour before the airlift Northwest medical helicopter was due to arrive, the rain was coming down so hard that cars were pulling off the streets because their wipers could not clear their windshields. The wind was gusting and heavy thunder shook the area. Yet, by 6:30 p.m., the storm had cleared for the most part and the training exercise began. The Riverside Fire Authority, Centralia, Washington, Aries, the Lewis County 911 Center, and Airlift Northwest had planned for this joint exercise weeks before. Several years earlier, Centralia Aries established 11 emergency helicopter landing zones around the community of Centralia, which has a population of 16,000 and is located in southwest Washington state. The local hospital had been the only designated landing spot for medical helicopters, but the community is divided by 2 large rivers and Interstate 5. Any large earthquake would likely collapse all or most of the overpasses and bridges. That would create small pockets within the city and would be difficult to reach by normal disaster response services. The helicopter landing zone project began by locating open fields, schoolyards, and vacant lots that could be used as alternate places for rescue helicopters to safely land. The landing zones needed to be level and at least 100 feet square. The fields could be grass, packed dirt, a roadway, or even a level, snow-covered patch of land. Identifiable structures, such as water towers, high-tension lines, trees, fences, light poles, and other hazards, had to be assessed and noted. The Centralia Washington Aries team checks every helicopter landing zone at least once a year to be sure that it still meets safe landing requirements. The joint exercise began to take form when the Riverside, Washington Fire Authority Chief, Mike Kaita, was asked if he thought we could get Airlift Northwest, the local medical helicopter service located 25 miles to the north of Olympia, to fly in as a practice drill. Coincidentally, the Riverside Fire Department was planning an exercise for their volunteers that could easily be turned into a request for a medical aircraft response. A quick email to Airlift Northwest brought this response: "We can make that happen." Since the joint exercise was set for a month later, excitement was in the air at the next Aries meeting. The team retrained on how to set up a landing zone, helicopter landing procedures, and landing zone safety. While Chief Kaita would be the overall incident commander, the Ares team designated a communications supervisor, landing zone supervisor, aircraft communicator, and safety officers. The remaining volunteers were assigned positions around the perimeter of the landing zone, as this would be a residential area and the landing of a helicopter was sure to attract spectators. Chief Kaita asked that Ares members provide notification to those homeowners living around the landing zone, and a simple flyer was created for distribution accordingly. The Centralia Street Department agreed to provide barricades to block off adjacent streets so there would be adequate parking for emergency vehicles. They also provided orange traffic cones to help identify the 100-foot square landing area from the air. Since it was possible that a delay might mean a night landing, Ares also purchased traffic flares and chemical lights just in case. The Centralia Ares Group had just completed a one-year project of creating an Ares communications vehicle, and this event would be the first real test of its equipment. During its last training meeting before the exercise, the team repeated safety procedures and established where team members would park the communications and emergency vehicles. A simplex frequency was designated for all landing zone personnel. The team felt ready to make the exercise a success, but hadn't thought about the weather. On the day of the event, and in the middle of a local thunderstorm, a text message to Fire Chief Kaita brought back the reply that they were ready to go if the weather permitted. As the storm passed, the Riverside Fire Authority began their part of the exercise. Fire department volunteers were dispatched to a simulated vehicle accident, where the people in cars had been ejected from their vehicles. Fire department personnel arrived on the scene and began a search of a nearby wooded area for victims. During this simulation, they were to locate four victims. One had minor injuries, two were walking wounded, and the fourth was in critical condition and would, as planned, need to be airlifted out by a medical helicopter to a trauma center. As the drill progressed, Centralia Ares began setting up the landing zone and prepared to communicate with both the fire personnel and the aircraft. Riverside Fire and Rescue crews located their victims and began transporting them towards the landing zone. They called the 911 center and requested medical assistance and a rescue helicopter. Inside the Ares communications vehicle, team members took updated information on the patient's condition from the aid crew in the field. The helicopter flight from the Olympia Airport to the landing zone took approximately 10 minutes. It was timed to have the fire department and aid vehicles arrive at the landing zone a few minutes before the helicopter. As the fire truck and aid vehicles arrived and parked, Ares members could hear the aircraft approaching in the distance. When the airlift Northwest helicopter was in sight, the Ares aircraft communicator made radio contact and provided updated landing zone information that included wind direction, identifiable landmarks, landing zone coordinates, and known hazards to the aircraft. Within moments, the aircraft was circling the field and settling down to a safe landing. What began as a simple training exercise to establish potential helicopter landing zones for the community turned into an opportunity to work with a served agency and to test Ares equipment and procedures for landing an actual helicopter. The airlift Northwest crew was generous with their time and equipment. Chief Kaita and his fire department training staff were tremendously helpful in setting up this valuable exercise. After the exercise, Mr. Wiley reminded us, you don't have to have all the answers when planning interesting training. You just need to start asking for help. Training opportunities are everywhere if you are willing to ask, even for smaller Ares teams. Our thanks go to Bob Wiley, KD7OWN, for this interesting story. Mr. Wiley is the Centralia, Washington State Aries Emergency Coordinator and is a retired operations commander with the Centralia, Washington Police Department. He has been an amateur radio operator since 2001. We'll pause now for a few seconds to allow repeaters to identify. Stay tuned. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for August 19, 2015. Anatomy of a CERT, East Lake in West Central Florida. The East Lake Community and Response Team, or CERT, in Palm Harbor, Florida, is very active in amateur radio in the north end of Pinellas County, Florida. Combining forces with the Upper Pinellas Amateur Radio Club, or UPARC, results in a pool of nearly 70 licensed amateurs with training that goes beyond traditional Aries training. A CERT educates ordinary citizens about disaster preparedness, hazards that may impact their area, and trains them in basic disaster response skills. These skills include fire safety, light search and rescue, team organization, and disaster medical operations. Using the training learned in the classroom and during exercises, CERT members can assist others in their neighborhood or workplace following an event when professional responders are not immediately available to help. One aspect of this CERT training is communications. Many CERT teams use basic family radio service, or FRS radios. We have found that FRS radios are not always reliable for this purpose. East Lake CERT realized the shortfalls of FRS and began to recruit and train amateur radio operators to be their communicators through technician and general licensing classes, mentoring, and word of mouth. So where do we go from here? What does the future hold? The East Lake CERT has been working closely with fire departments in North Pinellas County municipalities to initiate training of fire department personnel to be amateur radio operators, position radio equipment in each station, and train personnel on the use of the radios. The goal is to provide a backbone of emergency communications through amateur radio that can be activated in an emergency in North Pinellas County. That network could then interface with Pinellas County's EOC, or support local neighborhood operations. East Lake CERT is about to open communications with Tarpon Springs, Florida, and Sunstar, which is an ambulance company, to include them in the network. UPARC and East Lake CERT have come together to form an alliance and partnership for the good of our local communities. A CERT-trained amateur radio communicator is someone you want around when disaster strikes. An amateur radio network among fire districts could be the lifeline that supports our CERT teams in whatever tasks they are called upon to perform. East Lake CERT has focused on helping members become licensed operators and in the establishment of a North County emergency communications system. Having CERT-trained volunteers and radio operators in every community is our goal in order to live up to our mission statement, which reads, "The greatest good for the greatest number." We wish to thank contributors Kevin Poorman, KV4CT, David Moore, KK4DLX, Barb Conciatori, KI4VOV, and Andy Miller, KJ4FEC, for their help in writing this article. And now it's time for letters. And this month we have three. The first is titled, "An Emergency Paging Method," and is sent to us from Steve Bellner, W8TER, in Maumee, Ohio. Mr. Bellner writes, "Should a situation arise where radio operators need to be notified of an impending emergency or disaster, or requested to assist with an occurring incident, a page can be sent out using the cellular phone grid and the Internet. There are several different types of emergency paging systems, and I have tried almost all of them. Currently, our local government uses this method, and it is effective and easy. You may ask, but wait, If there is a disaster, those phones and internet may not work. Most warnings, such as tornado watches or warnings or severe storm warnings, are broadcast far in advance of the onset of hazardous conditions. At this point, many hams are monitoring frequencies and listening for news. Local incidents that occur without advanced warnings, such as a nuclear power plant evacuation or aircraft down, are likely the ones where a quick call-up is needed. But even these events do not necessarily take out the entire telephone and/or internet system. Another query may be, I don't have a phone, or I do not want to receive texts. Text messages could be limited to just once a week. These tests are to make sure you're receiving the sent texts. There are few individuals today without a mobile phone at their disposal. Any phone that can receive texts can be used to receive the page. When a page is sent, it will likely tell you where to tune to get information, such as tune to 7200 kHz lower sideband or 145.450 MHz FM. That would alert operators to tune in and get the details they need for responding. How does it work? A text message is sent to your cell phone's email address, which consists of your cell's telephone number, followed by the @ character, followed by the domain .com. Most carriers charge for this, but the fee is usually very small, and worth it if you receive an alert. It is only free when you have signed up to receive text messaging through your cell phone carrier. Here's an example. 301-928-6984 @Verizon.net. Try it out. All you have to do is substitute or insert your cell phone number and send a test message to yourself. Thank you, Steve. Our second letter comes from Bob Shorman, KK4VIK. Mr. Shorman is the corresponding secretary for the Glynn County, Georgia Local Emergency Planning Committee. His letter is titled, Georgia County Interfaces with Emergency Management via Planning Committee. And he writes, Amateur radio operators in Glynn County, Georgia stand ready to provide communications for our emergency management agency as an active partner in our county's local emergency planning committee. A multiband communications center, organized by Don Wellens, N4CMA, along with county assistants, can be activated and fully operational in our EOC upon order of competent authority. In addition, our county has multiple GO boxes with VHF and UHF transceivers that can be deployed to amateur radio licensed responders. This capability, combined with a U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary Mobile Emergency Communication Trailer assembled by David Lawrence, and his volunteer team of U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary land-based and mobile operational radio facilities, will provide a viable communications network in the event that traditional systems may be disrupted in the early hours or days of a disaster. Most of the radio operators are licensed radio amateurs. Thanks, Mr. Shorman, for your letter. Those are our first two letters, and we have one more. Please stand by. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for August 19, 2015. We'll be right back. Our last letter is titled, San Diego WinLink Net Marks 5 Years, and is from Ed Sack, W3NRG, in Coronado, California. Mr. Sack writes, For the past 5 years, I've been conducting the San Diego WinLink MCOM weekly drill and news. Here's how it works. A drill message goes out every Thursday, and San Diego and Upper Baja Mexico area radio amateurs can keep their operating skills sharp and their equipment readiness verified by just hitting reply to the message. A drill message went out last month, celebrating 5 years of continuous weekly service to the San Diego WinLink MCOM. 259 weekly messages have been sent and received, with more than 3,500 check-ins during the last 5 years. Kudos to you, Ed. Thanks for your fine work. Keep it up. ARRL staff developing patch display at headquarters. Send in your group's patch. Mike Corey, KI1U, the ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager in Newington, Connecticut, informs us we're working on putting together a patch display here at ARRL headquarters. We're asking for ARES, or other public service communications groups that have their own patches, to send us one for the display. Obviously, we do not need the ARES patches we sell, but are looking for ones designed and used by local groups. Any group or person that wants to contribute a patch can mail it to me via snail mail at ARRL, attention Mike Corey, that's C-O-R-E-Y, 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut, 06111. And thanks. Connecticut ARES Region conducts Simplex Test. Connecticut is a leader in emergency and disaster communication support in all modes for all hazards. The ARRL Section's ARES Region 5 executed its third annual Simplex test on August 1st. The test was spearheaded by Paul Gibb, KB1TOR, and was created to study how communications could be carried out throughout the geographically large Litchfield and northern Fairfield counties of Connecticut without the use of repeaters. The goal of the test was to communicate with as many EOCs as possible in the region. This year, 46 stations participated in the test. They operated on the 2, 6, and 40-meter bands. Mr. Gibb is the Special Projects Coordinator for the State's Department of Emergency Management and the Homeland Security Region 5 Regional Emergency Planning Team in Connecticut. Mr. Gibb has also been instrumental in getting nearly every EOC in Region 5 equipped with amateur radio transceivers, VHF and UHF antennas, and in some cases, near vertical incident skywave or NVIS antennas for high frequency or HF work. Mr. Gibb was recognized by ARRL Section Manager Betsy Doan, K1EIC, at the annual Section ARES meeting in Southington, Connecticut this past spring for his accomplishments. Our thanks to Dana A. Borgman, KA1WPM, the Public Information Coordinator for the ARRL Connecticut Section for this report. Georgia Group to conduct 911 Memorial Special Event. The Cherokee County, Georgia CERT and ARES amateur radio operators will be operating Special Event Station N4A on Friday, September 11, 2015, and Saturday, September 12, 2015, in remembrance of those families and loved ones who lost their lives, and the public safety members who gave countless hours during and following the 9/11 attacks. Jim Millsap, WB4NWS, the District Emergency Coordinator for the Metro Atlanta District ARES, reports, "We will be operating from the Cherokee County EOC amateur radio station and the Cherokee County CERT ARES trailer on HF frequencies in the general class band of 20, 40, and 80 meters on Friday, September 11, 2015. But the biggest event activity is expected on Saturday, September 12, 2015. A special certificate will be provided to those who make contact and send a self-addressed number 10 envelope. For more QSL information, click on qrz.com and search the call sign database for N4A. Remembering Hurricane Katrina 10 years ago this month, by our e-letter editor Rick Palm, K1CE. Katrina was one of the most devastating hurricanes in the history of the United States. It is the deadliest hurricane to strike the United States since the Palm Beach Lake Okeechobee hurricane of September 1928. It produced catastrophic damage, which was estimated at $75 billion in the New Orleans area and along the Mississippi coast. Here are two snippets from a special edition of the Aries E-Letter that was released on September 2, 2005. Number 1. I know many people would like to move now. Please don't. Many of you want to enter the fray, come to the coast, and get involved. Please, not yet. Transportation and logistics, including volunteer groups coming in, must be done in an orderly manner, or we may only add to the chaos and confusion. Signed, then ARRL President Jim Haney, W5JBP. 2. Numerous reports are coming in on the devastation and relief response, including Aries, manifested by Hurricane Katrina. This special release addresses initial Aries responses and planning. Everyone has seen the media reports and the public notices of various governmental agencies and non-governmental organizations, so they will not be reiterated here. The purpose of this edition is to share early reports and stories of what our fellow Aries members are doing in the field in response to one of the worst natural disasters to beset the United States. These efforts are only preliminary and in no way represent the total Aries effort, which will evolve over the hard hours, days, and weeks to come. Signed, Rick Palm, K1CE. Katrina changed the face of emergency management and FEMA in this country, as it did for amateur radio emergency disaster communications training and programs. This brought a new level of professionalism to our ranks. Let's hope we'll never need it for another disaster on the scale of a Hurricane Katrina. Take a moment to remember the victims and the radio amateurs who did their best to mitigate their suffering. 73 from your ARRL Aries E-Letter editor, Rick Palm, K1CE. And that's the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for August 19, 2015. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. Thanks to this month's ARRL Aries email contributors. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio e-letter script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. Copyright 2015 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.